Okay. Welcome to the regular meeting of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It is Wednesday, January 27th, 2020. It's 5:33. And this is a regular meeting held remotely under COVID-19 emergency rules. For the public, they can call in at 509-473-0276 and enter 637-502-786-pound. Let's see. If you do wish to comment, you are most welcome to email Nathan Butler at butler@sjcphd1.org if you wish to comment or just to help us organize that comment period. And Peggy Long is joining us tonight to help us, I think, acting as our board recording secretary this evening. And I'll let her call roll.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do the roll call. Commissioner Clary?
Here.
Commissioner Lehman?
Here.
Chairman Lindstrom?
Here.
Commissioner Lachine Seitz? Hope I got.
Yep, here and accounted for, I guess.
Commissioner Loring.
Hello, Ms. Long. Present.
Okay, and we also
In addition, we have Superintendent Hutchins, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this.
That's perfect. Thank you.
And Interim EMS Administrator Butler.
Here.
Here.
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you. Now we move on to the consent agenda, and I would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Can you guys amend the agenda to include that resolution I sent?
All right.
Let's see.
What resolution number is that?
It's resolution. It's our first 2021 resolution. So it's resolution 21-540. To set the value of previously surplus assets, including the 1997 E350 ambulance.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan. You even reminded me to do that, and I didn't do it. So,
Oh, no worries. We just got to remember to do it later. I know we're going to forget. We all got to help each other remember.
Okay.
We got to get rid of that thing next month because we're getting more vehicles coming in. We're going to have challenges keeping everything charged.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to amend our agenda to include resolution 21-540.
Seconded.
Thank you. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Thank you. And now we move on to... and before we move on to audience participation, I did want to just make a note to anyone that's listening in that we do have an executive session scheduled at 6:30 with our attorney. It was the only time he was available. So if you do join the meeting at that time and when there's nothing going on, it just means we're in executive session and we will return. And so now we open things up to audience participation.
Commissioner Lindstrom, could we... you guys passed an amendment to amend the agenda, but you've still got to pass the consent agenda, which includes the warrants and stuff. Not to be like picky or annoying, but since that's how we pay people, it's kind of important.
Thank you for keeping us in line as always. Do I hear a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Passes unanimously. Thank you. And now we'll move on to audience participation. And if you are out there and a member of the public and you'd like to join us, you can go ahead and press *6 to unmute yourself.
We only have 4 callers tonight, so we're a little light on audience tonight.
Well, we're not very exciting, I guess. Okay. If there isn't anything from the public, we'll move on to unfinished business. And we'll start off with committee reports and discussions. Again, because of COVID. I'm not really sure what has happened and what there is to report, but so we'll just start with the off-island transport committee. Any news there?
No.
I'm not aware that it had.
Okay.
Yeah,
the community. Okay. That seems maybe like it's fizzled a little bit, but we hopefully get to pick that back up when people can meet in person again.
Yeah, I was just retiring that one this year, unless you need it again.
Okay. The Community Collaboration Committee probably hasn't met since our last meeting.
It hasn't met. We weren't asked to approve some funding for
Head Start?
Preschool, Head Start Preschool, yeah.
Ooh.
Just through email.
Cool. Okay. The EMS and Trauma Care Council?
I was not there this month, last month. Nathan, I think, attended, and Lainey.
Yeah. Can you circle back to me? I'll look up my report on that. I emailed you guys about it, but I don't remember what I sent you. So give me a sec.
And Lainey, you're welcome to chime in if you have.
I've already got it, actually.
You got it?
Okay. Yeah. So the main takeaway was that they added the fire district, Salmon Island Fire and Rescue. Now, how the voting works for the EMS and Trauma Care Council, I've had explained to you by a few different people and got a few different answers. And they're revising the bylaws. Basically, how it seems to work is there are something like 18 members, 18 different organizations, such as Island Air, Airlift Northwest, you know, San Juan Island EMS, Shaw Island EMS, or any fire and EMS. So there's these different organizations, and what happens is each island, San Juan Island, Orcas, Lopez, and Shaw, send one voting member to the council. So there's like all the members, and they can attend all the meetings, and then four voting members.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird, and they're talking about how and whether to revise voting. And so that came up, but there wasn't any resolution on that. I mean, it's an awkward subject that no one quite knows how to handle it. Historically, the challenge was, since they were in-person meetings, if you had a meeting on San Juan, then whoever was on San Juan Island controlled the voting. If you were on Orcas, then whoever was on Orcas, you know, handled the voting there. We could control the vote there. So basically, that's why you have this kind of weird system. And they're trying to talk about whether and how to improve it. So that came up. And then I know that they talked about updating the regional plan, which will be of interest to us as well. But as far as I know, there were no major changes. Lainey, did you want to add anything since you're on the call? You certainly don't have to. I don't think you're on work time.
Well, as far as the regional updates, we go over that and update for every 2 years, and that's through the North region, and there's no major impact generally at the county level, and there isn't currently. And I will send everybody off the membership roster, because the one that came out, there are not quite 18. One that came out was a little confused because our coordinator hasn't had quite as much history. So she gave membership to people, to groups that aren't members but do show up at meetings.
I did send that list, Lainey, to the board, the list that Andrea circulated. Is that the same list you're talking about?
That is the incorrect list, yes.
That's the
added groups that don't belong there.
So I'd be interested in that too. If you send it to me, I can send it off to the board. You can send it to all of them. I don't really care. It would save you time. Just send it to me and I'll make sure people get it.
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you, Lainey.
You're welcome.
All right, that's our report.
Thank you. The civil investigative demand, has there been any new news on that?
I haven't heard anything. Have you, Mr. Butler?
No news on the SID, correct. And I think we should talk about that later tonight under our reports. So.
Okay. The Finance Committee, I know Everett met with the team yesterday.
Uh,
No, nothing really remarkable. I think overall, some of my impressions were, well, one of the lumps to the insurance for the vehicles still showed that we were at 500% of budget, but that was still the error associated with all the items associated with vehicles piled into one line. And though they had asked the county to straighten that out, the county is way behind and they had still not done that. So we're aware of it. And so we've taken that into account. The county doesn't reflect that. What I found of interest, adjusted budget was pretty good, so that the percentages were overall pretty close. And the other thing of interest was my tax revenues would be down, that the pandemic would cause tax revenues to be off, or the property tax was unfounded, that we in fact had 6% more in revenues, and revenues all came in. So that was really very good news. So I don't know what is going to happen next year, but we essentially were immune, it appears. The only other thing that I still worry about was GMT was half of what we had hoped, was at 50%. And GMT is still something of a mystery as to how it gets funded, what it is going to be. It seems like it is a moving target. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's behind. There were times, there were months where we had none. We expected some and they were simply behind. So I don't really know what that 50% number represents. Troubling to me if that represents, half of what we expected for the year. So those were the takeaways for me. Otherwise, it appeared to be pretty normal, nothing really unexpected.
Great, thank you. Is part of that GMT revenue just also related to the fact that calls are down, and especially Medicaid calls are down?
Yeah, we had a significantly lower than expected number of Medicaid calls. This program, of course, it's a Medicaid subsidy program, and our calls generally were down for the year, but the number of Medicaid patients was down significantly. The good news is this is never great news. It's good news. It's good financial news, right? It's not good news for the people that are transported, but our number of transports and our ambulance revenues were a little above what we expected. So in our revised budget, I think we had 250,000 in the original budget. It was 350,000. We ended up with 300,000. So it was 50,000 above what we revised it to, but 50,000 below what we thought of the original year, part of the year. And that's more significant than the GEMT. I would probably say that, going forward, GEMT funding is going to be relatively nominal. And partly that's because of just how many agencies now use it. And there's always been like a set pool of money is divided amongst the agencies that participate. As the number of applicants have grown, this is the way it was explained to me. And then the miscalculation on that is an issue too, where they're definitely going to be adjusting down how much we get, because they base it on your prior year's assessment of your cost. You submit a cost estimate, and then the fall next year, your payments are based on that cost assessment from the prior year. Mm-hmm. Because that cost assessment was incorrect, they're likely to withhold further funding. And we actually sent in, and so because of this issue, I sent in an amendment to our billing company where they're no longer going to pay us through the year. They're going to pay us one lump sum at the end of the year.
Oh, nice.
Because I am tired of being dealing with back pay issues and stuff. I'm not doing it anymore. Like, we've just had so many challenges with the financial stuff. So I'm just not doing it anymore. So we're going to get one lump sum at the end of the year. It's going to be accurate, and we're going to move on. So, yeah.
Whatever makes it easier for you. I think we've all noted how frustrating just getting a grip on this stuff has been for you. So
yeah.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
Okay.
If anybody wants to go down the rabbit hole with me, give me a call.
Yeah. I've gone partially.
Yes,
I wouldn't recommend it. Let's see. Inter Island Healthcare Foundation and Long-Term Care.
The two grants, the HRSA planning grant, the HRSA care coordination grant, they both are up and running, and each of the grants have their network members in place, and they are doing monthly meetings now between each other and also with HRSA. HRSA assigns a grant expert and a financial tech and a tech person from to help with going forward in the grants. And so those are up and running. And the next meeting for the planning grant is February 5th. And the care coordination grant is meets on the first Tuesday. But so everybody should, Gail and Commissioner Layman and Commissioner Seitz, we should be having those meetings monthly, so watch for those announcements in your Zoom meeting invitation. That's all.
Thank you. Anything further there? No. Okay. Community Relations Committee. Trish, do you have any public outreach, anything interesting to share? You're muted. Can't hear you.
Unmute. I don't have anything to share other than the fact that just today, witnessing all of our wonderful EMS over at the vaccine delivery center at our fairgrounds was just awesome. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's not a negligible, amount of effort, and our EMTs have been super helpful. They stepped up, and we had a medic on standby for the first round of booster shots this afternoon. Mm-hmm. To make sure, just because that booster shot is a little rougher. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there were no aid calls this afternoon, so that was good. The booster calls so far, so good. The booster shots.
Good. I'm so pleased that EMS is able to be helpful to the Department of Health to help people get vaccinated. And I hope that I hope we're doing as much as we can. And I really appreciate the membership that have stepped up to be on site and be part of that.
Yeah, for sure. They've been great. It's kind of a neat thing to be a part of, honestly. Yeah,
it's exciting. It's nice to see that we have a light at the end of the tunnel here. Okay, and I guess if there isn't much else on that, we have integration of EMS and fire on our list of topics, as we always do. So, we've sort of given ourselves some space from this, and we've handed work on that off to our interim EMS administrator, Nathan Butler. And if you, Nathan, do you care to update us at all on anything? I know you've had a couple meetings with Chief Collins.
Sure. Yeah, I can give a brief update.
Thank you.
Chief Collins and I have met a couple times, and it's gone well, I think. I think we've developed a good relationship, and we've always had a good relationship, I think. At least that's how I feel about it. Can't speak for him. we're working on trying to just sort of find ways to collaborate and work together and hopefully come up with a plan for integration that you guys can, you know, the boards can say yay or nay to, perhaps in March. So that's the aspiration, and we'll just see how it goes. I mean, right now it just needs time to talk and work together. And the meanwhile, we're finding ways to collaborate and cooperate, which is needed. You know, it's easy to forget, you know, every single day when that pager goes off, our people are out responding to calls together. We work with the fire district all the time, mm-hmm. every single day. And so this is a key relationship for us, totally apart from integration. And we've been working hard on it. So I feel modestly optimistic that I'll have more to report down the road. But for right now, I just really don't have much to say about it. But I'm happy to take questions if you guys have specific questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
If there isn't anything further, I'm going to hand things off to Pam now.
Thank you. So happy we made it to 2021 and put 2020 behind us. And during the holidays, I had a very quiet holiday because of COVID-19. And I reflected that I was soon going to be working for the hospital district for 16 years. And during that time, I worked with 22 different dedicated commissioners, two EMS chiefs, two interim EMS chiefs, and one co-EMS interim chief, and over 80 other outstanding district personnel. So with that reflection, after a full career, I have decided to step down from superintendent and retire on March 25th, 2021. I've been a part of very exciting growth for the hospital district over these past 16 years. And the proudest period for me was using my career talents to help pay off $500,000 worth of debt and partner with Peace Health to build Peace Island Medical Center in late 2012. And since that time, Peace Island Medical Center has expanded to include many additional medical services for our community. So Islanders don't have to go to the mainland for every major medical appointment. And we now have a 24/7 experienced emergency room. The community came together and accomplished an amazing feat to help build a top-notch critical access hospital here in our islands. So many places and rural places around the country and in our state do not have medical care within hundreds of miles for their residents. The San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 has been a wonderful organization to work for, and I thank it for many opportunities it has given me to work for and with the San Juan community. I have no doubt that after I'm gone, the district will continue to provide the best services possible for the residents and the visitors. San Juan Island EMS has been a shining star to the community for many years and has kept everyone as safe as possible against this new threat, COVID-19. Our community is fortunate to have such a talented emergency services organization. I will miss working with the district personnel, community leaders, and San Juan area residents, but I really want to thank you all for a rewarding 16 years.
Thank you, Pam. It's hard to imagine the public hospital district without you, but I'm grateful and so excited for you on this new adventure in your life, and you will be missed. And
thank you. You know,
16 years is a long time, and you're right. You've seen it through so many changes and so many beneficial, you know, developments for the community. So thank you so much for your dedication and your care.
It's been a pleasure.
And for putting up with me and all of my directing.
That's kind of the job of the commission to take ownership of all the commissioners and what happens and help them. So it's been a pleasure.
Well, I'd like to. Oh, go ahead, Gail.
It's okay. I was just going to say it's putting up with the whole community, not just the commissioners, too. Had a lot to deal with, but it's amazing how healthcare has transformed since you started. It really has, and the services are amazing now. So thank you for all your hard work on all of that. And you've always been such an easy person to work with and easy to talk to and graceful in terms of welcoming. I'm sure you're like, oh my God, more of them. Here come more commissioners. They don't know anything. So I appreciate your grace with which you have educated and helped all of us get in line. Thank you so much. We'll miss you.
I know. I'm sure having four of us come on brand new newbies last year was a whole nother challenge in itself. And thank you for all of your grace and help and support getting us up and running, Pam. And I can really appreciate, you know, the transition that has occurred in our community with healthcare. I mean, from the Inter Island Medical Center to Peace Island, to witness that and have been a part of that. I'm sure that's been amazing for you. And I too thank you for the role you've played in supporting the hospital district through that very challenging time. But I'm really excited for you that you get to retire. You're going to love it.
I think I will.
You're going to love it. Yeah.
I think it's just the right time for me.
Good, good, good. I'm happy for you that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
After a long career. So, and thank you for what you've given to our community.
Thank you.
Okay. If we're, everybody said their piece, Kyle?
I just wanted to weigh in to thank you, Superintendent Hutchins, for the warm welcome you gave all of us and for all the different transitions through which you guided the hospital district. I think we've heard plenty from others, but we all appreciate it. We did appreciate it before we were on the board, and we've appreciated it since then. So thank you and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
We'll see you around town.
Yes, definitely.
I wanted to thank you too, Pam. A lot has transpired since I first met you at the clinic, when we worked there at the clinic. And things have changed a great deal here on the island since then. And, you know, I appreciate what you've done, and I am ever so happy for you, because retirement really is great. But don't stop working. Still, you need to keep your hand in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I have some little mini.
That's really important that you keep doing, you know, keep trying to do something in healthcare, keep trying to do something like this, and not a lot necessarily, but just enough so that you hate to get up that day. Reminds you how much you love being retired. So thanks a lot.
Good advice.
Yeah, and she's around for a couple months, so let's pick her brain on everything we need to.
Uh-huh. We're gonna be calling her.
Do after she's gone too.
When Pam and I were first talking about this, I thought I managed to trick her into agreeing to stay to retire on March 25th, 2022, but she caught it. Tried to put it in there. She caught it. I'm making that up. But I am really glad Pam will at least stay through March. It's a big change for both of us. Pam and I have worked together a lot. You know, I came in on the tail end of her career, but, you know, we've been through a lot together, and we've been a good team, and I've enjoyed working with Pam, and you'll be missed. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, in light of that, we just need to move to adopt the amendment on Pam's contract. I think you've all had time to review that. And it just keeps her salary at its current level, but basically constitutes her resignation effective March 25th. So should we
You want a motion to?
You're muted, darling. I can tell you're talking, but you're muted. Okay, she's muted. Well,
must be that COVID vaccine. My brain's not functioning. Okay. I make a motion to accept Pam's contract as written. Did I say that correctly?
So you're making a motion to adopt the amendment.
Adopt the amendment to Pam's contract. Thank you. Yes.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
Do we have discussion?
Do we want to accept the resignation first? Does the order matter?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, do that next.
All right. Yeah. There's an email about that. Okay.
We changed the order at the last minute. So is there any discussion on the amended contract? Okay, we've all reviewed it. We're all happy with it. Okay, so in that case, I'll call for a vote. Voting to adopt Superintendent Pamela Hutchins's amended contract. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. Thank you. And then we... So thank you everyone for your work on that. And let's see, we need to vote to accept your resignation. So do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Nobody wants to move.
I know. It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet.
I would
make a motion to lovingly accept Pam's resignation for her next journey into retirement.
I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Superintendent.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's see. Oh, we were going to do a little update on Hospice of the Northwest, Trish.
A little tidbit that I thought everyone would be interested in. About a week or so ago, I got an email from some of my former colleagues at Hospice of the Northwest and Webster Equity Partners, who was the parent company of Bristol Hospice that was wanting to buy Hospice of the Northwest, has announced their plan to sell Bristol.
Oh,
I know. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was they announced that on January 19th. So, so that was just a week ago. Yes. Yes. And when I went to the website to try and read about it, they also announced that record high multiples, and I didn't really understand multiples, but multiples are a term that can be used to value a stock. So let's just say record high stock values for hospice companies have made investor owners' mouths water. I know. I'm like, wow, really? I mean, it's oy vey. Anyway, I'm really grateful that Hospice in the Northwest is not going to be sold, and that the two sets of commissioners at Skagit Regional Hospital and United General voted to end all discussion about selling Hospice of the Northwest to Bristol, because that, I mean, I think that they dodged a bullet. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that little piece of information.
Interesting.
So, yes. Yeah.
Well, if there was ever an issue that was suited to you, that this was it. So thank you, Trish, for all your work on that.
My pleasure. I'm glad I'm retired so I could put energy into it.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yes, I wouldn't know.
You'll get there. You got like 20 years, right? Your baby.
Yeah. Let's see if there's anything further. We have new business, and we're taking care of a lot of annual things. And it makes me reflect on how far we've come. Like last year at this time, it was like trying to figure everything out, and now we're doing things for a second time. And so we've come a long way as a board with Pam's guidance and Nathan's guidance. So, this should be easier. Let's see. We've got our code of ethics. So
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask if we could take care of the ambulance thing first. I'm anxious.
Where, you want that in this section. Yes, of course, we can do the ambulance.
The way I do things, I usually try to plan for me being stupid. And I just assume that there's a good chance I'll forget later to make sure it gets done. I remembered right now. So if possible.
It's a lot of detail. So this is resolution 21-540.
Yep.
And I don't have it in front of me, Nathan. Would you read it? Or is it too long to read?
It's not very long. Let's see. Okay, a resolution of San Juan County Public Hospital District number 1 set the value of previously surplus assets, including the 1997 E350 ambulance, the 2008 Ford Explorer Sprint Rig, and the 2001 Ford F-150 pickup truck. Whereas Washington state law requires a resolution to surplus assets, and whereas the San Juan Island EMS 1997 E350 ambulance was surplus on November 18, 2020 per resolution 20-537, and the SJI EMS 2008 Ford Explorer Sprint Rig was surplus on September 23, 2020, and the 2001 Ford F-150 pickup truck was surplus per resolution 20-524 on June 24, 2020. And whereas there was no valuation determined by the board at those times. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Hospital District Commissioners of San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 that the 1997 E350 ambulance has an estimated minimum value of $3,000. The San Juan Island EMS 2008 Ford Explorer Sprint Rig has an estimated minimum value of $1,000. Both of these assets have significant operational issues that impact sale value. The 2001 Ford F-150 pickup truck has an estimated value of $4,000. The aforementioned assets will be offered for sale and disposed of in accordance with their respective surplus resolutions and this valuation. If unable to sell, we'll send to auction for the best possible price. That's the end of the resolution. And the reason for this is because none of us, Carl, Pam, myself, whatever, surplus the vehicle before, and apparently we were supposed to set the value of the asset when you surplus it. You have the board set the value. Mm-hmm. This wasn't really an issue with the two vehicles because we basically just set the market price, and we actually got significantly over market price for the Ford Explorer Sprint Rig. Someone wanted to donate some money, so they overpaid what they had bid for, and we just basically held an auction. But the problem is with this ambulance, you know, we can't sell on the open market, so we have to set a value for it. This particular, we did some comparables. A clean ambulance of this type would be around $9,600, $9,500, but that would be an ambulance with no issues. This ambulance has a lot of issues. We feel justified in setting the value low. It's got issues with the light bar, the front wheel ends are loose, front end generally needs work. There's a possible heater core issue, which means there's no heater, doesn't work right, and there's some electrical system issues. But the tires and brakes are fine. It does run, it does work. It definitely has value. So anyway, that's what's going on here. We're just trying to button things up, do this properly, get rid of these assets the way we're supposed to do it. So that's all that's going on. Probably okay. More time than is worth in your board meeting, but there you have it.
Thank you. So I'm happy to entertain a motion on resolution 21-540.
I make a motion to accept resolution 20, whatever it was. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
540.
That's it. That's the one.
Thank you.
I second the motion to adopt resolution 21-540.
Is there any discussion? No. Okay. I'll call for a vote. Trish, you're muted again. I know you're talking. It's the shot.
It was not important.
Okay. So all in favor of resolution 21-540?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And moving on to the code of ethics then. You know, we review our code of ethics every year, and we don't necessarily need to discuss, but we do need to sign our code of ethics every year. Correct, Nathan? Okay, so just a reminder to everyone.
Yeah, this is a bylaws for the district requirement. They've not been revised in some time, but you know they're reasonably good. But our bylaws require that you guys sign them every year. So it's a self-imposed rule. It's not a state rule.
Do we need the original signed copy returned, or can we scan it and return it? What's the best way to do that?
You can scan it and return it. It's the age of COVID. That's like how everything's done. Sorry, Pam, did you want to say something?
It's not just that you sign it. It's a requirement that you read them again and then sign it. Just a refresher, because they're long and there's things in there that are, you know, you may, you know, not remember from time to time. So it's just a good practice to reread them and then sign it and then send it to me.
Great. Thanks for that reminder. And I was talking. Don't worry. I know what I was signing. I try not to sign anything without reading it first.
Thank you,
Kyle. That I've reviewed it.
I would bet. Yes. So can we sign this when we come by to sign the other things we need to sign on Friday?
Sure. We can put those in there. I did take out the power of attorney line in there, Kyle, just because you caught it and called me out on it. So kidding, of course, for the sake of the public. But yeah, I'll put those in the packets.
Okay. So if we're done on that, we'll move on to elections of officers and committees. And I think we were asked to turn in our nominations to Superintendent Hutchins. And I will hand it off to her.
Okay, basically I received nominations for what the current officers are now. So that would be chair would be Annalisa Lynchum, vice president would be Kyle Loring, and secretary and financial reporting official would be Everett Clary. So those are the only nominations that I received, but you are welcome to give other nominations at this time.
those sound great.
Sounds terrific to me.
Yeah, I'd be happy to unnominate myself, but here we are. So, do we need to go through and vote on each of these individually, or can we just move to keep everything the same? I mean, and this goes for committees as well, right?
You can adopt a slate. Yeah. I don't have any objection to that. That's something that's done. If you're worried about that, you can go through and do each one. I mean, it just depends on if there's really no changes.
I think mostly everybody's on the right committee, and I feel like, you know, what's nice is I recognize that, you know, like for instance, Trish has, she's retired, as she's mentioned, she has more time for these meetings, as does Everett. So that's nice. And
So you can just, you can just have someone adopt a motion, you know, propose a motion with a slate, name the names and the positions. And the committees, I would handle separately. I would do the officers and then discuss the committees. The committees, you can probably do the same way. You can just say a motion to adopt the committees as currently constituted. Yeah.
Okay.
Up to you guys.
I will entertain a motion.
I will make a motion to adopt the slate of officers as they stand. Chair Annalisa Lynchum to remain as chair. Commissioner Kyle Loring to be our vice chair. Commissioner Everett Clary as our secretary financial person. I make that motion.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Okay, good. And then
try not to sound so disappointed, Alice.
No, I'm happy to do this. It feels like a great, you know, way to be a public servant, especially to a community that's been so good to me and my family. And I anticipate that this next year moving forward will be not without challenge, but hopefully smoother as we're all getting more savvy at this role. I mean, we're going to have some hurdles because we won't have Pam, but, you know, last year was really challenging. You know, we've agonized over integration and wanting to do the right thing. And, you know, having a pandemic thrown on top of that has been even harder. So, you know, it's not easy, but I'm honored to be here. So thank you. And so as for committee assignments, as you know,
Forget that. Okay. Really, it's that COVID vaccine.
What's my excuse? Okay, so if we just want to keep the committee assignments the same, I would entertain a motion to that.
I move that we retain the current committee assignments for each of the commissioners.
I second that.
We should read them into the record too.
Okay.
Okay, so the committee assignments are off-island transport. Do you want me to read the commissioner? Yes. Okay, so that would be Loring and Clary. The community collaboration committee would be Lachine Sites and Layman, excuse me. The EMS Trauma Care Council is Commissioner Lachine Sites. The Civil Investigative Demand is Commissioner Loring. The Finance Committee is Commissioner Clary with me as backup. The Inter Island Healthcare Foundation and Long Term Care would be Commissioners Layman and Commissioners Lachine Sites. And the Community Relations Committee would be Commissioners Layman and myself.
And we've been using that Commissioner Relations Committee as a board liaison committee as well with the agency.
Right. Okay, so all in favor of keeping the current committee appointments the same?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you very much. And we have about 9 minutes until our executive session now with our attorney. So potentially a good time for a break.
Sure, we could take a break till 6:30, and then I would set. I'm not sure how much time we need for the executive session, but I would estimate at least 30 minutes, maybe 45.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you guys think? I mean, how many questions do you have? A lot. I'm looking at you, Kyle.
I'm not. Depends on the full scope of the executive session, but my guess is we'll need more than 35 or 30. I would estimate 45.
Okay.
I would start with that.
I would start with 45, like with Commissioner Loring. I probably it's more of an hour thing, but we can always extend.
Okay.
We always underestimate. That's our credo at this point.
I've asked Peggy to stand by during the meeting while we're out.
Okay.
She can make sure to tell people who may join during that time what's going on, just because of the weird timing for this session.
Okay.
Thank you. So shall I go ahead and read this RCW?
Yeah, read the RCW, and then we're going to do this session from 6:30 to 7:15, I think, is what you guys decided.
Okay. So we'll be adjourning for executive session from 6:30 to 7:15 under RCW 42.30.110I, to discuss with legal counsel. So this is to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. So again, that's 6:30 to 7:15. Peggy will be on standby. Thank you, Peggy. And I think that's all I've got. I'll see you all in a few minutes.
Okay. See ya.
Hey.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. See you.